Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. Today we are going to continue with the series entitled Parables of the Kingdom. And this is part 3, The Wheat and the Weeds. Today we continue to explore a series of parables that Jesus taught about the Kingdom of God. We're doing this because we want to be good citizens of the Kingdom, good subjects of King Jesus. Today, we look at the parable of the wheat and the weeds. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, from verse 24, and I'll read all texts from the New Living Translation. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." Now Jesus also explained the meaning of this parable to his disciples. And we find the explanation further on in Matthew chapter 13 from verse 36. Then, leaving the crowds aside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." This parable powerfully presents one of the greatest challenges and perhaps one of the greatest opportunities that God's children face while living on this earth. And it's this: the children of God live in the same world as the children of the devil. We live together. And you and I know that this presents some real challenges. To quote from verse 41 of our text, we live together with everything that causes sin and all who do evil. So temptations to sin are all around us. People who do evil are all around us. If we remember the parable of the sower, we may sometimes feel like that seed that was being choked by thorns. But we must remember that the parable of the sower is about the condition of our heart. This parable is about the condition of the world that we live in. Now, some people long for a life where they are not surrounded by weeds. They do their best to separate themselves. They try to pluck themselves out from the ground where they were planted and to replant themselves in a place where they're only children of God. Monks have tried that, isolating themselves in monasteries. The Amish have tried this, building their own closed communities and living in isolation. Now, this may solve some problems, but not all. Temptations to sin remain. Listen to the words of the devout monk Martin Luther as he wrote about his experience of becoming a monk. "While I was yet a monk, I no sooner felt assailed by any temptation than I cried out, I am lost. Immediately, I had recourse to 1,000 methods to stifle the cries of my conscience. I went every day to confession, but that was of no use to me. Then, bowed down by sorrow, I tortured myself by the multitude of my thoughts. Look, exclaimed I, thou art still envious, impatient, passionate. It profiteth thee nothing, O wretched man, to have entered the sacred order. The words of the monk. Now, Jesus teaches us through this parable that the wheat and the weeds actually cannot be separated until the end of the age. If it's done, it will damage the wheat. For now, the children of God and the children of the devil must live together in this world. We may wish that that wasn't true, but it is. But we shouldn't despair. Jesus has prayed for us. Listen to just one sentence from his prayer recorded in John 17, verse 15, as he faced the cross. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. As Jesus prayed for his disciples, he didn't ask the Father to evacuate us from the spiritual war zone, but he did ask us for us to be protected from the evil one, from the devil. So friends, we are going to experience the harsh realities of living in a very broken world. But we can trust God to protect us from the devil himself. Now, Jesus had warned his disciples that they would experience persecution and trials. But he also assured them that they would not be left alone at the mercy of the evildoers around them. He was in control, in full control. So he said, words recorded in John chapter 16 and verse 33, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. I believe it's extremely important that you and I understand this reality check from Jesus. He is not going to make everything go our way. He's not going to remove every opponent from our lives. He's not going to remove every obstacle from in front of us. As his disciples, we must be ready to face trials, opposition, and even persecution, just as he did. But we will not face these things alone. Jesus will be with us in them. And he has overcome every power that may come against us. That's great news. What does it mean for us practically? I would say this. Let's be prayerful. Let's be aware. Let's be wise so that we can resist the temptations that are all around us. And let's be strong and courageous to persist in the face of opposition and persecution. That said, we also need to recognize that this reality of living as wheat amongst weeds is not just a great challenge, it is also a great opportunity. The opportunity is this. We are perfectly positioned to continue our Lord's mission to seek and to save the lost, and to obey his commission to make disciples of all nations. Now, in order to fulfill his mission to seek and save the lost, Jesus had to leave heaven and come to earth. But for you and I to continue in his mission, we only need to walk out the door. People who need to be saved are all around us. So we are living in a great opportunity situation. The Apostle Paul described our situation like this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. As he says, you and I live in a world full of crooked and perverse people. But because God is at work in us, we are able to live differently. We are able to, in his words, live clean, innocent lives as children of God. We're able to demonstrate a different way of thinking too, as we do everything without complaining or arguing. This different thinking and different living impacts those people around us. Our godliness is shining like bright lights into the darkness. Jesus said it like this, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Many around us are living in spiritual darkness, as you and I live, to quote, clean, innocent lives as children of God. Our, quote, good deeds shine out for all to see. Our transformed lives bring light into this dark world, and this light helps those around us to see who Jesus really is. The end result is that everyone will praise our Heavenly Father. I really think it's important that we notice the end goal here. It is glory to God. This is not about us. This is not us being shiny. Look at me. How glorious am I? We don't live glorious lives so that people will look at us and applaud us. We don't live godly lives to be seen as better than those around us. We live godly lives so that people will see that there is more to life than their darkened existence. That they will see God and give glory to God. On this point of correction, the theologian R.C. Sproul wrote this. We often hear that people don't like to be in the presence of Christians, because Christians manifest a smug, self-righteous attitude, or a goody-two-shoes, holier-than-thou attitude. But this should not be the case. Christians have nothing to be smug about. We are not righteous people trying to correct the unrighteous. As one preacher said, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. As I prepared this message, I received a message from a missionary friend asking us to pray for a couple that they were having dinner with that night. He and his wife are currently befriending two couples with the view to shining the light of Jesus into their lives. They have chosen to live in a place where most people do not believe in Jesus. There's a great deal of darkness around them, but they are shining their light into this darkness as they get to know the people and they spend time with them. People see the difference in their lives, in the way that they think, in the way that they act. It prompts them to look again at who Jesus is. So friends, as we look around us and see darkness all around us, let's not despair. Let's not hide. Let's shine. Let's be the light of the world that Jesus has made us to be. Let's live the life of ever-increasing glory that the Lord has given us. Let me close with one last scripture, famous words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Friends, when light shines in the darkness, the light doesn't fade. The darkness fades. Light wins. Let's not let the darkness intimidate us. Some people will resist us and oppose us, maybe persecute us, because they love the darkness and they don't want the light shining into their lives. But they will not be able to extinguish the light. And some people will see the light and be saved. We learned from the parable of the sower that the same seed gets different results depending on the soil that it lands on. It's the same when you and I shine into the lives of those around us. Some people will choose darkness over light, but others will come in to the light. So let's shine in that darkness. Let me conclude. The parable of the wheat and the weeds describes the world that we live in. Those who belong to Jesus must live in the same world as those who belong to the devil. The people of the light must live alongside the people who prefer darkness. This reality presents a real challenge to us because it means that we will face many temptations, we'll face opposition, we may face persecution. So we must be prayerful, aware, and wise to resist those temptations. We must be strong and courageous to persist in the face of opposition and persecution. This reality also presents a wonderful opportunity to us, because our mission field is all around us. We just got to walk out the door. For some of us, it's even inside. As we live the new life that Jesus has given us, we become light that shines into people's darkness. So let's shine our light, demonstrating a different way of thinking and living that will point people to Jesus. Friends, let's hear what Jesus is saying to us today in this parable. Let's resist the temptations that will come. Let's persist through the trials that will come. Let's live lives that shine into the darkness, knowing that this will help people to see Jesus for who he really is. Amen.